David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have our very special guest on the show today. It is Eric Ebon, and he is a leadership consultant, and he is part of our podcast community. He participates in a lot of things on our channel, and he has his own podcast on our channel as well. So look him up, and you'll see all his podcasts. He is an excellent coach and consultant when it comes to leadership and teaching different tools and strategies on how to enhance your leadership qualities. And he's here today to talk about authenticity. And I love this because this is great because it's the new year, you know, and people sometimes struggle with authenticity and becoming their authentic self. And I'd love to hear more about what you have to say.
Excellent. Hello, Stacey. Good to see you in 2025.
It's great to see you too.
All the great things that are happening with you, I'm proud to hear it and to see it, and to, as I mentioned before, just to be a part of it is, I think, outstanding. Not just for me, but to be a part of someone who's helping hundreds and thousands of people through the podcast space, through your interviews, through your books. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to be a part of that. So that's great. You know, I went into 2025 saying to myself, you know, what am I doing that's really helping those that are around me, right? Those that I consult, family members, those that I mentor, as well as when I'm a mentee kind of thing, to what's really happening here. And for me, I wanted to be a part of something that was real. And when I mean real, I mean authentic. Yeah. And when we talk about the buzzwords of authentic leadership, it came upon me this year to be unapologetically you. So there was a time when we used to say, I'm sorry a lot. And I used to, you know, oh, I'm sorry. You go into a meeting, you say, oh, I'm sorry. And I think we've shifted that. It's not that I'm sorry. I'm genuinely said something I shouldn't. It's nothing to be sorry about. And people understand. We're in such an understanding time that being you is what we want to do. It's what people want of us, right? Yeah. And so I have five strategies that I think as leaders that we should do. These are great actionable things that we should consider in being an authentic leader or being unapologetically you. So the first thing, real simple, is, you know, self-awareness is key. Number one, self-awareness is key. If you don't know who you are, then how can you expect, right, others to kind of gravitate to the thing that you're doing best?
Yes.
I've met leaders that journal, which I don't do, but I've met senior leaders. There's a president of an RTX division. I mentored with them. He was a mentor for a time period. And here it is, this high senior level. And he talked about journaling. And I was like, wow. Now, I love to write.
Yeah.
And you'd think as a person who loved to write, it seems seamless to journal. Yeah. But I was never able to kind of put my thoughts down in that fashion. But it's a part of your self-awareness of who you are.
Yes.
Meditation, mm-hmm. reflecting on your values, your strengths, your weaknesses, and your motivations. That's very important. So, you know, there's this tale I want to put out there. There was a time this senior leader within this aerospace division brought together around 12 to 14 of us across the country, mm-hmm. And said, listen, I have this problem. He goes, we put out this edict, we put out this deal, and we're not getting these responses. Nothing is happening. You know, you know, as a senior leader, that's your job. Your job is to put out these actions for this full division and then watch the company move forward. And it wasn't happening. So he brought us together. We spent about 5 hours in this continuous improvement aspect, kind of running through what happened, how the message was brought forth, how it was received, and what the expectations were.
Right.
At the end of the 5 hours, a senior leader came and he says, "Okay, guys, what do you have? What happened? Tell me."
Yes.
And at the end of it all, we said, "Leadership failed to do X." And his face changed and he says, wait, I brought you all together to and basically you're just going to turn around and point the finger back on me and say, I have this problem." And he was visibly, upset. It's not what he expected to hear. And it's remarkable watching a number of us who were there kind of backpedal a little bit, right? We saw the senior, and as they backpedaled, I looked around and I'm not gonna backpedal this. And I said to him, "Hey, this is what people want to hear. This is what we expect. And unfortunately, if leadership isn't, bold enough to not just make the comment, but stand on it and sometimes demand that it occur, then that is the problem." And he looked at me and he says, "Fine, fine. All right, I'll take it." And my point of this story is, for me, I am aware of when brought together in this environment, right? And going through these continuous improvement exercises, if we spend this time to say this is the answer, then we need to be unapologetically us and defend that answer as a leader. Afterwards, he kind of grabbed me on my shoulder. We were going to lunch, and he says, "That sounds like that Marine coming out of you, to kind of stand before me in this forum and defend yourself." And I said, "Maybe it is, or maybe sometimes we need to hear what we need to hear." To this day, he's a great leader. He's senior vice president, and he's big muckety muck. But that's what being leaders need to do. You got to be self-aware. You have to understand that authenticity starts with understanding yourself. And then leaders who know themselves are clear about your purpose, right? So that's number one. You got to do that in this day and age, right? Strategy number two, and then we'll open up for a little conversation because I have a question for you. Strategy two is lead with vulnerability, right? There was a time when we as leaders had to project a certain level of strength only, right? No measure of weakness, no measure of kind of accountability. We had to just project with strength. And so, in today's time, it behooves us to be vulnerable as leaders. We have to share our struggles and share our imperfections in appropriate ways. I think we've talked in the past that some of the struggles we have has led us to who we are today. So with you, I believe when we talk about health concerns, which has been, where you have definitely taken off and said, "Hey, this is where I need to help." Where have it been in your life when you had that moment that you had to share your struggle and your imperfection? Can you tell me like when you had to make that switch and say, I'm not just Stacey Chalemi, the on-air personality, right? Or this, I am now this person who has these struggles and these imperfections, and it's time to share my story. Can you share when you had to make that switch? How did you feel?
I think for many years, when it came to my imperfections, especially with health and my disorder, I was in denial for many years. And then it was at a breaking point when they were trying to get my seizures under control. They had me, that no medication would control it. So they had me in trial groups. And then I saw the worst case scenarios. And what I had was nothing compared to some of these people were taking 90 to 300 seizures a day. I was taking at that point 12 seizures a month, which is a lot. But when you compare it to 90 or 300, that's a big deal. So at that point, I realized I need to stop pitying myself. And then I reached out and I got help, and I slowly was able to get my seizure under control, my life under control. I realized what how to actually control my seizures, the regimen I had to create for myself, the limitations. I had to be honest with myself. I had to realize that I was not like everybody else, that I had to do something that worked for me and not worry about what everybody else around me was doing. And once I figured that out and it worked for me, I wanted to reach out and teach others, not telling others what to do, but from my perspective, this is what worked for me. Maybe there's one or two things you could learn from this and apply to your life, which would make you a better person and maybe help you through your tough times or whatever condition or life obstacles that you have in your daily life.
You know, I thank you for sharing that because I'm a big fan that as leaders, we understand that vulnerability is not a weakness, but in actuality, it's a strength, right? Because then we're not just able to be more relatable to people, but people can say, hey, listen, if they can do it, if they can overcome, or this is how they've done it, then maybe there is hope for me. And then when that happens, they then turn around and share that with others. So sometimes it starts with you being vulnerable as a leader. So I think I've shared this before. I'm a stutterer. So it was very difficult for me as a young child trying to build confidence, right? Trying to build this leadership persona at the same time, internally having a fear of, not fear of speaking, but fear of failing to speak, right? A fear of failing to communicate due to this disorder. And then it wasn't until years later, you know, I was in my 30s, struggle all the time, but I was in my 30s before, you know, I actually received some great speech therapy. And again, I was in grad school, but great speech therapy where the speech therapist, who happened to be one of my professors, she said, you know, Eric, two things you have to realize. One, you are a stutterer. So, you know, if you fight that to say, you know, I don't stutter or I don't, then you're fighting against who you are. That's one. And then the other is you think that there's tricks that you need to do to get past stuttering. And really there aren't, if you consider them tricks, you just need to know that there's strategies. There's strategies you can do to overcome, to speak better, and to be confident. And truly, that level of vulnerability, which was tough, right? By this time I was already a 10-year Marine Corps vet, right? Already been to war and back. I have this Marine Corps persona that I had to slowly chip away at because I couldn't do both. Right. I had to learn to be who I am again, be unapologetically me, but I had to learn that vulnerability was a strength. And it takes some time as a leader to do that. And I think people appreciate it. So when I tell the story now, you know, some people go, Eric, I would have never put you as a stutterer. And I go, oh, well, thank you. Yeah. It doesn't mean I don't have my moments, right? But it's great. So that's tip two, you know, and tip three, strategy three, you know, respect and align your values with your walk. And I know that's a long one, but, you know, back in the day, it was okay to have values that you never really represented it out loud. As a matter of fact, it was probably a good thing. You know, back in the day, that who you are as a person, what you believe in as a person, not just was no one's business, but you did not, it did not shine forth. It did not let go. I think we talked about kind of being an on-air personality back in the day and having that vanilla national dialect, you know. When you're speaking on radio or on television, and that was the expectation. But in today's time, in today's fast-paced information world, right? TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and everyone speaks with whatever dialect you are, right? Your background must come out to kind of not just separate you, but to bring in the audience that relates to you, right?
Exactly.
And that's what we need, right? So when we talk about respect and aligning with your values, you have to kind of walk the walk of who you are. And again, that goes to being unapologetically you. You know, I have this quick story that's I tell in my book, Highway to Skyway Leadership. I got a call out of the blue when I was in Kansas, and a manager calls me and he says, "Hey, you know, I got your name from someone." He goes, "I am a mentor to one of my employees, my team members. I'm trying to get them where he's trying to go. He's a great guy. We have these methods we put into place. We have these practices and these strategies." He goes, I've reached the max of what I can do."
Yeah.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
And I reached out to my mentor and I said, "Hey, do you know someone in the industry that can help take my guy to the next level?"
Right.
He says, "And I was given your name." And of course, I'm flattered. Here's a guy out of the blue, right? Runs his own department and, you know, in some other state and calling me.
Yeah.
And I said, "Hey, sure. You know, I'll be more, I have some time. You know, I'll be more than happy to see what I can do. You know, we can set up these meetings and the arrangements." And he says, "Okay, great." And I said to him, "By the way, how did you get my name?" And he
Yeah.
says, "Well, my mentor met you in a few years back." And he tells me the name of this guy. And I said, "Oh, I remember that guy, you know." The guy was a character, you know,
Yeah.
we met a couple of times, you know. He says, "Yeah," he tells him a story of you and the, you know, Royal Indonesian Air Force, and he was a program manager. I said, "Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about." My point here, Stacey, is that for me, that was just a Thursday. You
Yeah.
know, we had international guests coming in.
Right.
This particular program manager was the representative for our company to the, you know, Royal Indonesian Air Force.
Right.
And that was our only interaction. So I met him a couple of times in this. But for me, it was just a Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I was unapologetically me in interacting as a representative for my company to these people, showing them the site, right? I was the operations leader, you know, being the forefront of that. And here it is years later. You can be memorable in such a small amount of time
Yes.
where someone says, "Man, I know someone who can help take this guy to the next level,"
Yeah.
because in that short amount of time, this person was instrumental in this, and this is what I saw, and this is what I heard, and this is what they represented. And for me, I was just being me,
Yes.
right? So if we don't understand who we are and our values and how that show forth,
Yes.
then we won't understand that authenticity is built on consistency.
Yes.
So what we're who we are, we're continually being that. People are seeing that consistency. They see it, and then you are who you say you are, right? Your
Right.
actions are aligning with your words. You're building this credibility, you're building this trust
Yeah.
that you don't understand underlines, underpins the perception of you, right? So
Right.
I think that's, again, very important in being a leader. You know, for you, when we read your books and when we see these interviews, time after time, it's the same Stacy.
Right.
The story's the same. And it's not just the story's the same, it's the passion that you have of the story. It's the lessons that you have come across in your stories. It's the same. And that level of consistency needs to be there as a leader. And that's what draw people to want to watch you and hear from you, and not just get your books, but to say, "This is a resource I need."
Right.
Right. So
Yeah.
I think that's important. Have you run across a leader or two? I'm sure you have, but just a leader or two who wasn't consistent.
Yes, I have. I've run across quite a few of them. And I think a lot of times I think some people are still trying to figure out who they are, their authenticity. They are so worried about pleasing the person in front of them that they don't know how to be their authentic self, with the fear of rejection, the fear that that person might not like who they are, that person might not do business with me, that person may not, want to, move forward with me and collaborate with me because they might not like me. So I have to be who I think they want me to be. And I've come across a lot of people like that. And also the ones who don't show their authenticity, and it's more like dress to impress. When I say dress to impress, I mean they're saying the things that they think are going to impress you. And those are things don't impress you at all, and they'll throw out names of who they know and this and that and who they met, and honestly, it's the people who do that are the people who get less credibility, because usually it's the leaders who have accomplished a certain level of success. Those are the ones that don't have to brag or say, I did this or I did that or I met this person, because it shows in their persona. It shows how they stand, their facial expressions, how they demonstrate who they are through their verbal expression, through the words they speak. And that's how you make a decision. You look at the body language, you look at their eyes, because the eyes tell are the entrance to the soul. And then you look at verbally what they say, and you have a good idea of who you're speaking with and the level of leadership and strength that they are really about. And so people, I think, are sometimes afraid to be authentic.
I've ran across people, and that's powerful what you said, because I was actually gonna th that was gonna sum it up, and you did it just right. I love when I run across people who tell a story, and they'll say like they met a certain person or whatnot, and they're not being braggarts on it, but they'll say it, and in the back of your mind you go, I can see that. I can see them having a conversation with whoever famous person or whatnot, and I can see that. Yeah, that tracks, right? And one of the worst things that happen is when people don't kind of align with a value, and you can tell because they're kind of all over the board, and then that does erode trust faster than anything else. I may say, man, I had a great interaction with them, but yeah, I don't think I'll do that again, or I wouldn't want to consistently meet or talk with them, because I'm sure the story would change, or I'm sure right? I'm sure it wouldn't be the same. And we've ran across that. I think one for me, and I've mentored a couple, and I've had a couple of clients this way, where it's that is a difficult, So that's the part of being, for me, being unapologetically me, is finding a way to have that conversation with, my client, and saying, okay, listen, I let's break it down, and getting them to be them when they don't know who they are, because they think they're either going to be something that I need to see or the next person needs to see, and I'm trying to slow them down. I go, let's slow down. What? Wait, stop. Do you like Big Macs or don't you? Right? And I know this is very simple, but they can be on the fence about a Big Mac, or because they think I'm a Burger King person, or they think I'm a Quarter Pounder person, right? And you can, right, you're talking to them, and you can see they're waiting to see what you like to say whether, look, if you like chocolate ice cream, just say you like chocolate. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not, right? But you're trying to coach them through that, hey, listen, people want to see authentically who you are, and for you to defend, if necessary, who you are. It doesn't mean it's wrong, it doesn't mean it's right, it's just who you are. Because I want to be able to trust someone who stands on a principle or a value that they hold dear. Whether I hold it dear is different, doesn't matter. At least I know you won't be swayed the next leader that comes across, because that happens. Right? You have a boss, you have a mission, everything is fine. Your boss gets a new boss, and now everything changes. And it's not just the mission changes, but your boss tend to change. Right? The lead, you hear them, you hear their voice, and you're like, oh, I didn't know I had, So nothing erodes trust faster than when you're not aligned with what you believe in. So strategy four, and this is a tough one. Embrace the feedback.
Yes.
right? Embrace the feedback. So I'll share when I first had to embrace feedback. So in the military, you get feedback,
Yeah.
but in reality, it's just check marks of who you are, whether you meet the requirement or don't meet the requirement, and it's on a grading scale. It's really very, very structured, as the
Yes.
military is. And now here I am in the civilian world. Years later, I'm an operations leader of a aerospace facility, and it came across that you get your results as a leader. Everyone in the shop, as normal, they can rate you and grade you.
Yeah.
I had about 100 people that reported to me, and afterwards, you as the leader are to pledge to make some corrections that I heard here going forth what we'll do and so on and so forth.
Yes.
And so my first one, Stacy, I go to my office, I'm sitting there, I open it up, I read it, and I'm like, what? Again, as much as I love people and listening, and I'm human,
Yeah.
and I'm come from this Marine Corps background.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? And so I like a couple of weeks later, I'm in front of their 100 people, and I called the meeting, and I go over my results, and I'm not embarrassed to say this because, again, I'm unapologetically me.
Yeah.
I said, okay, hey, here's what I heard. I heard I communicate well. I heard this, and I heard you want that. I also heard from about three of you that for some reason I tend to overreact. That, by the way,
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
For your listeners, that is not how you want to react.
Yeah,
That is not how you want to react as a leader, right? But
Yes.
I was a young leader, and you learn from these things.
Yes.
I said, so for you three, I will not overreact because it appears for 97 of you, I'm just fine. It was a terrible way to respond to my deal. Since then, of course, I've learned feedback, the good, the bad, and the ugly is what you want as a leader.
Yes.
You really need to understand that your peers see you in a different light than your team members that see you.
Yes.
And even those who lead over you may see it. And for you as a leader to be the best, well-rounded leader, you have to create this safe space for honest feedback
Yes.
and being open to hearing it so that your team members realize that they can say things that, by the way, and this is true. Some of you won't realize it until later, but it will help you be better, right?
Yes.
It will. Hearing from your team members the
Yes.
things that they really enjoy that you do
Right.
and the things that you need to improve upon.
Right.
It helps you be better. Your peers, they may say some things. I had other site leaders would help grade me, and they get, Eric, this is what I admire about you, or this is what I see your shop really appreciates about you. And
Yes.
they would say, I'm working on that. And I said, cool. And they would go, I think a couple of them, and they would mention a couple of things, and I would say, you're really good at that. And they go, yeah. And so from my peers' perspective, I was able to partner with them
Yes.
on the things that they're strong at that I SWAT, right? The
Yeah.
things I'm weak at, I had peers in other sites that were good at, and they
Yeah.
would help me through those things. But you got to be open as a leader
Yes.
to embrace that feedback. Because it demonstrates humility, which is a
Right.
very good characteristic trait as a leader.
Yes.
If you're not humble in who you are and how you got there,
Yeah.
because by the way, as successful as you are, you got there from people really understanding and appreciating you, right?
Right.
They trust what I'm hearing from Stacy is true. They trust that you're being honest. They trust that vulnerability that we spoke about earlier. And some of the comments that they've said, they can go back a few years, watch some of your interviews, watch some of your podcasts, read some of your books, and saw how you've grown and changed,
Right.
for the better. And
Right.
that's what we need to do as leaders. I think that's very important. That's a story for me of one of my first feedbacks and how I was. By the way, I'm completely different now, but have you had a moment that was difficult in receiving some feedback, or the opposite, some a moment where you've received from some feedback and you said, "Wow, I'm really thankful to hear that."
Yeah, I have a great business coach, and I've known him for a very long time. So we have developed a very good friendship and business relationship. And I report to him, I tell him how everything's going, I tell him what's going on, and he will give me constructive, honest feedback. If I did something right, if I did something wrong, if I could do something better. And I was even recently on the phone with him, and I was discussing a specific thing in my business and how I responded to it. And he told me, he said, "You know what, Stacy, you're an empath. You're very sensitive," he goes, "but too sensitive," he says. "And it's not about you. It's about the client." He goes, "Stop trying to defend yourself," he said, "because your passion and what you do is that's fine, but you're not here for you. You're here for the client." He goes, "Don't be self-centered." He said, "Focus on what matters to you, and the client matters. So focus on what you need to do." And he was right. And the word self-centered, I was like, because that's the last thing I want to be called. And he explained it. He's like, "You don't have a self-centered personality. Just in this specific case, you needed to focus more on your client and not try to defend your service or your product or this or that. It's not about that. It's about the person. And that's who you should be really focusing in and really trying to get to know better so you understand them better, so you understand where they're coming from. There's no need, and as we talked before, you could have two different personalities. Someone may not, draw to you, because the personalities are different, or they might not see what you're trying to do because it's just two different minds, but you got to listen more. So you understand that way you could help the person. So hearing that, that word self-centered, I told you, I went.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
He was true. It was good advice, and he was honest and straightforward. I didn't like hearing that word, but he was right, and it made me rethink about how I could do things.
You know what? That is perfect in what you said, because I think there are people who wonder, what's the purpose of a consultant or a business coach or a mentor outside of the corporate structure of leadership, right? Because many, that's the only way you're going to get it. But outside of that is perfect. I'm a big fan that you need to have that in your life, because that's the only one that who doesn't have the responsibility to write your review, right? And so for them, I do it because I like you or I care for you. And sure, it's maybe a business relationship, but I only mean the best for you in that business relationship. And so we need that in our lives. So perfect. I thank you for saying that, because I'm going to use that piece of clip to not just promote, right, leadership consultants, but also the importance of having someone who takes the responsibility to help you be better,
Right.
right? Your friends do not have to have that responsibility. Your
Right.
family do not have to have that responsibility. Your spouse should not have that responsibility
Right.
to help you be better in that fashion. And
Yes.
so really you need to look at someone who can separate the personal to the business, because it may just strictly be business,
Right.
and you happen to have a personal relationship with them as well. So,
Right.
I had a friend, a Marine Corps friend, a long time ago. I had still friends, and he was having some issues and troubles, as Marines do. I said to him, I said, "Listen," we were on the phone. I said, "Listen, here's the problem." I said, "You have too much disposable income." I know that sounds crazy because we all want more disposable income. But I said, with every X amount of dollars you have disposable, the amount of trouble you get in exponentially grows. And again, for some people, they say, "Well, Eric, that's a good problem to have." And maybe it is, but depending on the problems you're going to find yourself in, right? And
Yes,
he would call me and
100%.
say, "Man, I woke up here." And I'm like, "Dude, this is like the fifth time I heard that story in like 3 years. How did you make it to Dallas? You know what I mean? You don't even live in Dallas." Some people have too much disposable income where they find themselves in more trouble. And for me, he's my friend, right? So I don't have that business relationship with him. We weren't in this, monetary piece, but I care about him, and I've cared about him for years. And so I'm going to tell him the truth. And so we need to have that. So back to the point, we need to embrace feedback, the good, bad, and the ugly. So thank you for that. And then the last strategy I want to bring forth, Stacey, is, as leaders, we need to be present and not be so distracted, right? In today's times, it's easy for us to get distracted. And by the way, from the leadership business perspective, it's easy for us to be distracted in the sense that we're doing more with less time. I have a love-hate relationship with AI and where it's going. There are bits of it I completely love. I'm ready to embrace what's next. And the hate part is, for me, I do subscribe to the Terminator view of life, that the time is going to come that Skynet's going to I know that sounds crazy, but that's my love-hate relationship to AI, right? It is what's going to take over the world, and not in a good way. But where I'm going with this is that there are many times and ways for us to be distracted. As business leaders, we're doing more with less, right? Where, and I've read many an article that there's been this over the last 3 to 5 years, this slow phase out of middle management. And so it makes leadership consultants as myself a little wary that there's not just less in the pool for leaderships, but businesses are moving to a strategy where there's less interaction from this middle management, which actually I'm a big fan. We're the ones that get the teams to do what they need to do to find the buy-in, to encourage, to show morale, to take the vision that down and actually make that vision into tangible, right, strategies and objects that we need to then perform. We're the ones that do it. So I'm a fan of middle management, and it's going away, and that's troubling. But what we need to understand is that we can be so distracted as leaders because there's so much more we need to do and less time with the people. So be present and don't be distracted. Again, these are the strategies for authentic leadership, or being unapologetically me. So, there's a story I tell in my book, that this new program manager got with the company, and she came by my office, and she says, "Hey, thanks for taking the time with me, and I'm going to be working with your people somewhere along the way, and do you have any tips or some things, a little historical references I could use to be better?" And I said, sure, sit down." And and I go into this and I go into this and I bring this historical piece to it, and I talk about best ways to kind of interact with some types of leaders. And
Yeah.
I probably gave a little too much because I can do that.
Yeah, me too.
And at the end of the conversation, I said, so hope that helped. And she looked at me and she says, did I do something wrong? And I was like, no, what when you, she goes, she goes, I'm sorry. I want to apologize. I'm not good with indirect communication.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, oh. She goes, I can't pick up references well. And sometimes, and I said, pause. And I truly looked like this, Stacey, for about 20 seconds, which is a
Yeah.
long time when you're in front of someone in your office.
Yeah.
And I stopped and I said, thank you for telling me that. I said, because now I said, how about this? And I said, here are six things that's going to help you succeed. Bam, 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 bam. She asked one or two pointed questions. And then when it was done, she goes, wrote them down. She goes, thank you. And that 6 minutes of six strategies of how to move on and get best was better than the 20-minute conversation of the historical references and what it takes. And it's because for certain people, they are easily distracted,
Yeah.
right? And even though they're there, the way they communicate is different, right?
Right.
And so for me, and part of the strategy I'm saying is be present, not be distracted, is understand who you're talking to,
Yes.
right? And be present with this person, because
Yes.
not all leaders are the same, not all team members are the same, not all
Yes.
leadership is the same. And if we sometimes apply this cookie cutter approach to how we get orders across, then
Yeah.
we're going to miss something as a leader. So
100%.
part of your authenticity of being unapologetically me is understanding I need to be present each and every time for whom I'm talking to. Have
Right.
you found a time where you had to change the message? Like, you understand how you say it, right? Been said 1,000 times.
Yes.
You had this moment where you had to restructure the message for this particular person or this particular audience.
Yes, I had a client, and I was speaking with the client, and we were going back and forth, and then I realized that the way I was approaching it was not matching to their personality and their thinking patterns. And I saw that because I saw their facial expressions, their body language when I was talking to them. I saw when the wall started to go up. I saw when they started to get they started to really, like, their eyebrows went up. Oh, they like this, you
Yeah,
know?
they're getting it.
Yeah. And then when you would say certain things, they move back a little, or they get a little bit, frigid in their body, and then that's when they weren't happy with, the approach or something I was saying. So then I had to ask more questions, and then I had to learn a little bit more. And then I understood where they were coming from and what they actually needed. And I changed the whole approach according to what I realized, what they like, what they don't like, what they need, what they're missing in their life and they're really looking for. And then I was able to reestablish it in my head really quickly, that 20-second ponder that you talked about. And I restructured the conversation, and we were able to actually, reevaluate everything and create something that was going to be very meaningful for the client.
That goes to that point, and this is kind of sums that point up about giving kind of your undivided attention, right? And that is the powerful act of authenticity as a leader, right?
Yes.
So if you're giving that undivided attention, receiving or giving in the communication aspect, we're watching all of it, right? So it's not just the words, it is the body language, it is the reference. And then we should be able to shift kind of the message. It's still the message, but shift it in a way where, as you mentioned, my overall goal is to help.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm here for. And it's not about me. Again, you and I are very similar in that. I've been in modes where I've said, like, why aren't why think about it, why aren't they getting it? See, that's a part of the self-awareness strategy at the beginning, right? Why Why aren't they getting it? And it's me, right? It's not they aren't getting it. If I can't present what needs to be said in such a way that the audience, whomever I'm speaking to, isn't getting it, then I have the responsibility of stopping, reflecting, adjusting, shifting, and then being authentic in the sense that I realize that that message of how I'm saying it is not helpful right now, and find a different way. So there you go. So for me, starting 2025, I'm looking forward to being unapologetically me, right? If there's any indication that the times have changed and shifted, we can see it in news, we can see it in politics, we can see it in religion, we can see it all over, that we are looking for people to be who you are, whether you relate or not. And that's the good part about what we're talking about here, is that you can find someone to relate, right? You can find an audience that relates to what you're looking for and what you need to grow, but you have to be unapologetically you. You have to show your authenticity and then watch your clients come, watch the audience, right? Your audience, watch our audience on the podcast gravitate to what we're saying. And it's not because we're super special. It's because they understand that we're being authentic in what we're saying, and we mean it, and our values are there. The five strategies, right? We're self-aware. We're leading with vulnerability. We are respecting and aligning our values, and we're walking in that. We're embracing the feedback that we hear and we get, right? That's why sometimes comments are on in a podcast. I want to know them, right? And then also being present and not being distracted, so we can give our full selves to our people. So that's how I think we should go 2025, in authentic leadership, or just being unapologetically ourselves.
I love it. I love it. Now, if you had to take everything we talked about today and you really wanted to focus on a couple of takeaways that you think will be really beneficial for the listeners, what would you like to emphasize on?
I would say this, a couple of things. One, you are going to attract who attracts you, right? I know that sounds cryptic, but that's how that works, right? You're going to attract who attracts you. And so, in being yourself, just understand that, you are not for everyone, right? I've had leaders that work in a certain environment that I couldn't work in, but they thrive because the environment calls for that particular type of leadership. And if they weren't authentic to who they are, they would fail there. I've worked in environments that, for some reason, I thrived, and people say, "Wow, Eric." And it's because that environment needed my style and who I am, and I was very authentic. So be you in all instances, right? So that's one. And the other is, as a leader, keep your eye open to the one that needs you, right? Sometimes as leaders, we can get clouded by the vision of that's coming down. We can get clouded by the reports that we have to perform, and but there's someone that's watching you, and they're needing what you have to offer, and they may not have the chutzpah, right? They may not have the confidence right now to go and knock on your door. So as you're touring, as you're walking through, keep your eyes open and look for those that need you. 2025, that's very important. As I mentioned earlier, the times are changing in our industries. They're moving so much faster, and we're weary about a lot of things. And so, as leaders, we need to have our eyes open and look for them, and then pull them aside. As you see them looking, "Hey, what's your name? Right? What shift do you work?" And then watch them open up and go, "Wow, leadership cares." Yes. Yes, we do. Right.
Oh,
So
100%.
I think those are very important.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I love it. I love it. Yes, it is so important. And I think human interaction is the way to go. You'd mentioned AI, and I think, you know, the world really needs to, you know, focus on more human interaction. AI is great for certain things, but the world and the people in this world still need human interaction. And it does not make up for AI. We had a person that came on our show last night, and they had a app that was created by someone they knew, and they had me try it. And the app sounded like a human. You could ask it anything, and it could give you any answer. And it said, so what do you need? I said, oh, I would love to collaborate with someone who was interested in coming on my show. We could do that for you. And they came in a few minutes. They had texted me, and they had a person's name with a possible client. And it was pretty amazing. And the AI had a whole conversation with me and as asking me question after question to get an idea of what I was looking for. And I was just, you know, really quickly trying to just throw out anything. But it was pretty amazing. But I've worked with a lot of companies that are trying to take that AI route. And, you know, it's more AI now than anything else. And it's not working in my book. I'm very displeased because I'm looking to speak with a human. For certain things, you need human interaction. You know, AI could be helpful in certain areas, but I think a lot of companies are going a little too far when it comes to AI, trying to save money and stuff like that. But I think in the long run, it's going to hurt them, you know, and I hear the same feedback from other individuals as well.
I would agree. I think where we're going, when we lose the people aspect, right, we lose the level of ingenuity that's needed to fill what we're looking for. Meaning, when I have a problem and I'm looking for a solution, the solution should be based on, for me, my experiences or the experiences of someone who has X number of years of failures and how that works, not this conglomeration of information.
Yes.
And just point out, right? I was a kid that loved the encyclopedia when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm, me too.
And I actually loved to read. And I remember learning to play chess.
Mm-hmm.
And so I read multiple books on how to play chess and that kind of, and I remember sitting down with like one of my first humans on how to play chess.
Yeah.
And Stacey, they whooped me and they whooped me multiple times, right? I couldn't understand,
mm-hmm.
even though I had these strategies in my head, you know, I couldn't understand, but they have experienced thousands and thousands of matches, right?
Yes.
So they have seen multiple people on the other side with like-minded thoughts of what was supposed to work. And they have lost many times, right?
Yes.
And they've watched, and I didn't experience any of that. I experienced from the structural performances and strategies and historical aspects of what's supposed to work,
yeah,
right? In
exactly.
Chess. And it completely fell apart when I was playing people, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're going to find as well, is that,
yes,
you know, as we use AI more and more in various capacities, there are things that it works really well in. I think I've liked it. I've used it in a sense, you know, I put a cover letter together and truly someone says, hey, I want a cover letter now.
Yeah.
For a different thing. I went to AI. I need a cover letter for this particular industry with using my past history and this type of resume. And give me some action words. Give me some deals. And yeah, it put together one that would have taken me a little longer to generate.
Yeah.
I love that. Any other aspect of it in my life, I think I don't need AI to tell me how to make a chili recipe, right?
Right.
I've made chili 20 times and
yeah,
my wife likes my chili. So I don't know why would I change it? Right? I think that's what we're going to miss.
Yeah.
And I know I'm kind of getting off topic, but that's what we're going to miss. But for us, that's why it's so important for us to be authentic in who we are.
Yes.
As a leader and as a team member, because AI cannot replicate that.
No.
And you can't program that level of authenticity.
No.
It can sound human, it can sound that kind of thing, which is great, but you know in that app something was missing.
Yes.
You knew that what they're giving you was just information.
Right.
It wasn't based on a failure rate,
Yes.
right? And that failure rate, they gave you the best information because they failed a few times.
Right.
And now they're telling you what works because they know what doesn't work. AI can just tell you what the best probability would be and
Right.
what most information, and you're like, yeah, but yeah. So I think we're on the same team there.
Yeah.
I'm curious how the end of this year. And I know I'm, 330 days, but how this end of this year is going to go, and everyone gravitating too quick to something and missing out on that human element.
Yeah, I think you need human element in order to grow, in order to, you need that human structure. The best lessons I've gotten from leadership is by mentoring with other leaders that have succeeded in my industry and have done exceptionally well. Those are the people I learn from, because those are the people who had failures and successes. They knew what worked and what didn't work, and they were able to communicate with me on a human level. And they gave me the information I needed. And you also learn by who they were as a person. You got to know them. There was lots of components, that helped, help me learn how to be a good leader in my industry, and I'm still learning, because you never stop learning. But, it was human interaction that did that, not AI.
You know, when I was writing my book, My Highway to Skyway Leadership, I was telling someone, and I've been talking about writing for years. And you run across those people that are cynical, right, in life. And someone says, someone says, yeah, you're writing a leadership book. And I said, yeah. And they go, but really, it's a regurgitation of the same information. Those are cynical people. And I said, yeah, but when it comes to leadership, it differs from person to person. And the
Yes.
person I'm talking to say, well, Eric, yeah, but you I mean, you're a good leader, but it doesn't mean. And I said, but in my book, you will hear the stories
Yeah.
that apply in this good leadership, and you will hear the failures that apply. So it's the stories of a life of someone that you respect or you know,
Yeah.
and that journey. And then you can see that leadership principle that you can easily call out on AI. Right?
Right.
AI, you can ask it anything about leadership and it gives you that.
Yes.
But it can't give you the story of a 6-month growth period of how that leadership principle
Yeah.
actually moved, worked, and shown success, which is the purpose of again, reading and writing books and how that relates to people and
Yeah.
why I really think there's been a big resurgence in reading. Whether, I love to read, I love to write. But
Yes.
I think there's a huge resurgence to it because we're looking to relate outside, right?
Yes.
You can watch the videos, you can watch this, but we're looking to relate to see where we fit in this grand scheme of what we're looking at, right?
Yes.
Everything can be filtered, but in when we read these books and we're finding these principles and we're seeing how it worked, this person become, who was a Navy SEAL and now are this. Right, who was a Marine and now we're that, right?
Yeah.
Or who went through these health scares and their journey helps, people to understand that sure you can be scared, but here's what you can do to overcome
Yeah.
that. It's the stories of this human interaction that really works. And
Yeah.
so I think that's what's so important in what we do, even in our podcasts.
Oh, 100%. Now, where can people find your book?
So a couple of ways, obviously it's on where you would buy books, Highway to Skyway Leadership. You can go to my website, ericebronconsulting.com. You can find it there, as well as you can find links to this podcast and other podcast episodes that I have where I kind of talk about where we are and where we're going. With the Highway Skyway Leadership, it really helps young leaders and leaders understand how to grow from your perspective. Right.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is that many in corporate world tell you how to grow on
Yeah.
their time frame, but this book's helped say, listen, you can get there, you can be the best leader, you can grow on your own schedule. So
Right.
that's where you can find it.
I love it. I love it. And can you tell everybody about the services you provide?
Yeah, so as a leadership consultant, what I do, and again, I have personal clients and I have small and medium-sized businesses, we do some training. into how to be the best leader you can be for groups of 30 to 50, which I think are very important. I do have a training course that I'm almost finished with, and we go into again what it looks like as a 4-hour blueprint, but what it looks like to have 360 feedback, what it looks like to do self-reflection, what it looks like to have your wins documented and your failures documented, right? So that's a part of the coursework that I'm providing soon. And then again, I think, like we talked about before, as a business consultant, is having someone who's been there and done that and can help tell you where you need to go just from the short-term aspect. So those are the services.
I love it. I love it. And tell everybody one more time where they can find you.
Excellent. EricEbronConsulting.com.
I love it. This has been amazing, Eric. I love having you on the show. You're just a whirlwind of information, and you always bring up great conversations, and your podcasts are amazing. Thank you so much. I think it's so important that people understand how to be authentic and the importance and why it's so important. And you really got that message across today. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing this information and these strategies with us.
Thank you, Stacey. Again, I love our conversations. I look forward to what 2025 has for you, and I'm watching.
Ah, thank you. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too, Stacey.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.